On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that itch. We claw with our fingernails for that itch. Because we know when we add up all those itches, that's gonna make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
Welcome to the Buccaneers Observer Podcast. This is Ralph Phillips.
I'm Molly Bay.
Today is April 7th, 2019, 7:12 p.m. Not a whole lot going on in Buccaneers world, but we're going to cover a few things. First, let's get to some follow-ups and fact checks. We got a follow-up on a follow-up this time. We talked about Ricky Williams' business where he was into the herbal life, tantric healing stuff, whatever it is. I don't know.
Essential oils, crystals.
Yes. He has a business with his wife, and it's called Real Wellness. We talked about that. But yes, the herbal shop Ricky Williams opened up with his wife, Real Wellness, is still open. As far as I can tell, it's exclusively online. I don't know if he has a brick-and-mortar retail shop or not. Couldn't find one.
He's got like a yoga studio, though, right? That's what I thought it was.
No, it's a herbal wellness center or some crap.
It's all like cannabis oil.
Yeah.
Right.
Another follow-up. We asked about how long is the average NFL career. We were pretty much spot on with that. I think we said 3.2 years, but it's 3.3 years. However, there's some caveats that go along with that. Players with at least one Pro Bowl appearance or selection, they have an average NFL career of 11.7 years.
Well, that makes sense. It's a popularity contest, and what players are popular are the highest paid ones.
Yes. First round draft picks have an average NFL career of 9.3 years. Players who make a club's opening day roster in his rookie season have an average of 6 years.
Oh, that's interesting.
That is pretty interesting. Kickers and punters, they average 4.87 years.
Ooh, so maybe that's not a great career to aim for.
That's a lot shorter than I thought.
Yeah.
You know, when you think of Vinatieri and Matt Ryan.
Right, and they're probably skewing those numbers.
Yes. Quarterbacks have an average of 4.44 years.
Ooh. That sucks.
Yeah, you know, when you think of Tom Brady and Drew Brees and Andrew Luck. And
again, they're probably screwing those numbers too.
That just means there's a lot of quarterbacks that come in the league and don't even last a year.
Huh.
Cornerbacks, that's with a C, their average is 2.94 years in the NFL. Wide receivers are 2.81. Running backs have the lowest at 2.57 years in the NFL.
That makes sense because running backs are kind of a dime a dozen. Not necessarily the really good ones, but it's easy to find a running back off the street.
Yeah, and plus they take the most beatings.
That's true.
All right, another follow-up slash fact check on this one. Talked about the survey that was done in as far as CTE and ex-NFL players having neurological problems in their older age. That was the University of Michigan study of retired NFL players. But I think I said they did like 2,500 people in their questionnaire. They did 1,063 retired players.
So like half that.
Yes. And it was a stratified random sampling. So.
Okay.
Yes.
Doesn't seem like a very significant number, like that it would be statistically significant, but I don't know.
Hey, those are the guys with the brains. They know what they're doing.
I hope so.
We got to trust them.
You like to think so.
Yeah, I hope so. Anyhow.
Yeah.
Good grief. Rick Stroud did a tweet the other day showing that Jameis Winston had hosted 102 kids from the Boys and Girls Club, CDC of Tampa, in the Skills Center. Took them to a movie as part of his Dream Forever Foundation with popcorn and drinks included. The movie was a special screening of Shazam!
See, and that surprised me that it wasn't Gerald McCoy because he's into the superhero movies.
Yes, yes. He did, what was it? Was it the Avengers? What was it?
Yeah.
Was it the Avengers?
I think so.
Was that last year?
Or maybe a Captain America movie?
I don't remember where he bought out the whole theater and
had
fans come. You can follow Jameis Winston's foundation at jameiswinston3.org. That's the number three. The purpose of the foundation is to impact the lives of financially disadvantaged children and youth through encouragement, opportunities, and resources to develop and achieve their dreams. I want to go see that movie, Shazam. It looks cute.
Yeah, it looks like a good movie to see with like a young boy.
Yeah, I might take my son.
Yeah.
It'd be a good popcorn flick.
Right.
I'm excited about Avengers Endgame.
I know.
I think that might be the biggest movie in the history of movies.
If they don't screw it up, I'm not confident.
Yeah, it's true.
It's been really slow this week, and on Instagram, there were a couple things that I noted. You saw there's like a video that the Buccaneers.com put out. It's just kind of highlights from this voluntary workouts that they're doing. And you know, they had Mike Evans, Donovan Smith, Vernon Hargreaves. Like, they showed...
Oh, they were all there for the workout?
Yeah, they were in this video. Like, clips on the video. It's the voluntary OTAs or whatever they're doing. And anyway, but Jameis was not in the video.
No.
And I noticed that, and he wasn't in any of the pictures on Buccaneers.com. And, you know, everyone's making a big deal about McCoy not being there. And so I was like, well, is Jameis there? I haven't seen him. But he commented on that video and said, where are the quarterbacks at, though? So I guess he was there and the other quarterbacks were there.
Yeah, well, I know he was at the voluntary workouts last year, him and DeSean Jackson. But Jer McCoy was not there last year, and he wasn't there this year, and he wasn't there in 2017. And I still see, I think Joe Bucks fan had an article out, and they claimed that he never misses these voluntary workouts. That's not true.
I still think it's a big deal that he's not
there. Oh, yeah, I do too. Yeah. I do too. I think he really should have shown up. But I think he did posted some videos to his Instagram account showing him working out with former Bucks strength and conditioning coach Joe Vaughn. That was interesting that he was with a ex-Buccaneer.
Right,
doing
a former
that.
Staff member that was probably fired when the last regime left.
Yes, and I thought that McCoy was in California working out with Drew Brees and those guys. He normally does that this time of year.
Which, why is he working out with Drew Brees? That still irritates me.
Sleeping with the enemy there.
Yeah. But that article by Joe Buck fan, I thought was funny because Joe Buck fan is now saying that the Buccaneers have bungled the handling of McCoy leaving.
I just don't see that.
So that's the narrative that's getting pushed. It started with Rick Stroud, and now it's on Joe Buck fan.
Yes, I see. That goes back to the whole, I like the coaches and the players to be honest and to talk about what they feel and not give canned responses. But the media is wanting them to say the right things, you know, and it's just annoying to me. Let Arians talk the way Arians wants to talk.
Well, they want the best of both worlds. Like, they like that Arians is forthright and out there, but then they don't like what he says about McCoy.
Yeah, they're already criticizing it, Bruce Arians, for talking about McCoy.
Right. This Joe Buck fan article said that, you know, they threw around all kinds of BS when it came to DeSean Jackson and Adam Humphries and Ryan Fitzpatrick, but then McCoy, they were just instantly, like, crapping on him.
I don't get it. I'm happy with the way they've dealt with and talked about it, because it really does give you a sense of, well, you know, it's like they blew smoke up everybody's butt about DeSean Jackson. They were like, we want to keep him and all that. They had no intentions of keeping him.
But it was to inflate his trade value. Because if teams knew that we were just going to get rid of him and release him, they would have just waited till then. But instead, we got a draft pick out of it.
Well, I think that's what everybody's saying with McCoy. They're like, well, you're messing up his trade value if you're saying he's not as good as he was before.
Well, maybe they don't want to trade him. Maybe they just want him to take a pay cut.
Right. They want him to restructure, I'm pretty sure. But, you know, I'm not a big fan of restructuring either because, you know.
I am. It shows that you're committed to the team and you want to do what's best for the team at maybe your expense.
Yes, that part I can understand. But there's also the whole, if he doesn't feel like he's gotten a fair shake and he's restructured, you're basically taking a pay cut. And how hard are you going to work after you take a pay cut? You know, so that kind of worries me that, you know, we might sign him for less and he might perform less. Don't know.
I mean, his production is dropping off anyway. I don't know. It's just like, if he wants to be here, he'll be here.
Yeah, it's really up to McCoy. Ball's in his court.
I think so, too. And I think that he's bungling it. I think he's kind of being a giant baby and pouting about it.
Well, watch out. He might block us on Twitter.
Probably.
Be careful what you say.
Right. Another thing on Instagram I saw, Levante David, you know, he put out one of his pictures where he's on the field in the uniform, like, flexing. And Antonio Brown commented on the picture and said that last year David hit him really hard and he thought it was funny. Or Levante thought it was funny. So Levante might be in Antonio Brown's head.
That's funny.
It was good. And then Levante said back, had to F with you, bruh. So
that's good.
Hey, yeah.
That Levante's getting some recognition from top guys across the league.
That's true.
Good. We need more of that. I'm excited to see what they're talking about, having Levante rush the quarterback more. And I'm excited to see that. He has just been so underutilized with the Lovie Smith and Cutter.
And put in a box. Like, he's not.
Yeah, he really is a free roamer. That's where he's best.
And he's so instinctual.
Yes, that's right. You got to harness his football instincts because he's got good ones.
And I think since Shiano, he hasn't been used correctly.
No, I agree with you.
I think Lovey, I don't know what Lovey's deal was. I don't understand anything Lovey did.
Yeah. I think he came here and had a grudge and just screwed the team up as much as he could.
That's the only thing that really makes sense. I mean, it doesn't make sense because you're like, who the fuck does that?
People with a grudge.
I guess so. I guess I've never had a grudge that serious.
Yeah.
I need to find some people to hate.
Well, you mean besides Drew Brees and...
Well, I can't, like, ruin his life.
I watched some of Vita Vea footage last night. I was watching some of his college footage and everything. I tell you, man, that guy is just... I am so impressed with him. And it's funny to me how nobody else, especially in the Tampa Bay media, is talking about him like I feel he should be talked about. He's elite. I mean, he is going to dominate for a long, long time. You know, unless, of course, you know, injuries or whatever.
I wonder if it's just that he's so young and they're just not really sure how it's going to shake out.
I think it's because they don't really watch game footage. You know, these media guys, they're all into about getting quotes. They don't really much of it. Peter Report's got a couple guys that watch the game film a little bit, I think. But the most of them, you know, like Rick Stroud, Greg Allman, Joe Bucks fans.
I think
they just don't seem to... You know, they don't really care about what happens on the field. They're more about getting quotes in the locker room and from management and stuff.
To give them the benefit of the doubt, I don't know that they could have time to do that.
Oh,
and all
true.
Their other responsibilities. Yes. Because, Ralphie, you spend 8 hours on one game analyzing the game film. Like, these media personnel, they're at every press conference, they're at the practices, they got to go to the games, you know. So, I mean, that's a lot. And then, in addition to all that, they've got to find time to write material.
Yes, and they keep busy with that. Like, Joe Bucks fan, they do, what, about 10 articles a day?
Yeah, and I think they grind it out more than anybody else does.
Yeah, by far.
And they're constantly, like, talking to people and visiting their sources and all that, so.
But I tell you what, Vita Vea is a beast, and he needs to be talked about in this defense because, you know, we're talking about how, you know, we're going to do the defense and 3-4 and all that, and it's going to be an attack defense, and you hear people say JPP's name and Nassib's name.
Shaq Barrett
now, but you never hear him talk about Vita Vea, and I'm like, no, he's the best player on our defense right now. He's going to be, I'm thinking a Hall of Famer if, you know, if he keeps up and plays at the level he can play at, he will be a Hall of Famer.
What did he play in college?
Nose tackle.
In a 3-4?
I don't know.
He just said he watched the game film.
Yeah, I didn't pay attention to that. Well, he plays all over the field. I mean, he was a running back in high school.
What?
Yeah.
He must have been a lot smaller then.
Well, he was pretty big. I watched some film of him, a couple of plays, and it was funny because you could see the defenders would, like, kind of run over towards him. But they were not trying to tackle him. I mean, he was a big dude.
I would love to see them put him in a running play.
He'd
probably just bulldoze over the whole, like, line in the middle. We got our offensive line, their defensive line. He'd probably just bulldoze over everybody and just be a big pile.
Yeah, he's not slow either. I mean, he was clocked doing 19 miles an hour in college on the field. So, he could chase guys down from behind. And, yeah, him as a – we probably will do that, you know, goal line stance. I used to do that with Warren Sapp. They put him in as I can't remember if they did him as a running back any or if they had him go out for a pass as a kicker.
I know he caught some passes.
Yeah. Anyhow, if you've been listening to this podcast, you know I'm a big Vita Vea fan. I talk about him every chance I get. He's just really, 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 really exciting and fun to watch.
Is he going to be your next jersey?
Yes. I was thinking about that last night. Buy me a Vita Vea jersey.
I want a JPP jersey.
Okay. Put it on your Christmas list.
I know.
It appears Blaine Gabbert is getting a $1.59 million deal for 1 year.
Okay.
That seems to be the contract.
It's a little high.
Yeah, well, it's cheaper than what most quarterbacks would be, but yeah.
Right, but we've got two backups.
Yeah, I think Griffin's getting about that much somewhere in that area. And Blaine Gabbert's, I think it's $1 million base salary, and then the rest of it's roster bonuses and stuff. So
seems like we overpaid on that one.
I would pay a dime for Blaine Gabbert.
I know, me neither. Hey, he beat Colin Kaepernick for a starting job.
Yeah, there's that.
There's that.
And then lost it to Colin Kaepernick, didn't he?
Yes, he did, indeed. I think that's probably an important asterisk. So we talked about before that we've been reading Quarterback Whisper. I've been reading Quarterback Whisper.
I haven't got the book yet. She's got the book. I haven't got it.
Hasn't even gotten the book yet. So I want to touch on just a couple things.
Do it. What you got?
There's one interesting tidbit. Bruce Arians said, I can't stand it when coaches play not to lose. And I just felt like that just defined our season last year.
Yes, Cutter, very much so.
So hopefully no more of that. He gives his quarterback a lot of discretion.
Really?
A lot. Like, he'll have the quarterback pick his favorite plays, and they'll incorporate it into the game plan.
That's a good idea.
It is.
I've often wondered why coaches don't do that more often.
Yeah, so he picks their favorite pass plays, favorite run plays, and they put them in the game plan. But Bruce Arians says the fourth quarter is his time.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
And he said if they have a chance to take a shot down the field and go for that kill shot, they're taking it every time.
Nice.
So this is like, we said super aggressive, but it's just really like no mercy, very aggressive style.
That's interesting. Don't mean to get off topic or anything, but what do you think about that Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy article that
came out? That was bad.
We read it. We were reading it together. We got about three quarters of the way through, and we had to stop because it was just so
intense. It was horrible. So, first of all, Aaron Rodgers didn't like McCarthy because he felt like McCarthy never innovated.
Well, he didn't like him originally because McCarthy didn't pick him.
That's right, because McCarthy picked Alex Smith. Yeah. Where were they? Was it the McCarthy was like quarterback's coach?
He was offensive coordinator for, it was the San Francisco 49ers. He was the offensive coordinator there when they picked Alex Smith.
Right. And Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers was on TV. It was embarrassing. He sat there like through the whole first round, and he was expecting to go up high.
Yeah. And they did not.
And they kept showing him, and he was just sitting there kind of pouting.
So he held a grudge against McCarthy his entire career, basically.
From the get-go,
and it was widely known that that was an issue.
Well, widely known to the teammates and organization,
yeah,
but teammates. Not the media.
Right.
That's crazy how, I mean, when you read this article, all the stuff that was going on between those two and that never got out, that's just bad reporting, if
right.
you ask me.
So, Aaron Rodgers is pissy that Mike McCarthy didn't pick him. And not only did Mike McCarthy not pick him, but McCarthy said publicly that Alex Smith is the better quarterback.
How'd that work out for you, Mike?
Yeah.
Not pretty good. Won a Super Bowl.
So. I guess so. So, McCarthy comes to Green Bay and he doesn't innovate. And Aaron Rodgers gets really frustrated. They become so predictable. So he starts just calling whatever in the huddle he wants to. Or, you know, he improvises a lot. If the play, you know, when the play breaks down or they start predicting the play, he just.
Yeah, he was changing routes.
Yeah.
Making the receivers. The receivers had a real tough time because they were having to choose between Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy.
And Aaron Rodgers would ice you out if you took McCarthy's side. He did that to two rookies, rookie wide receivers. They had to choose between Aaron Rodgers or their coach.
Yes. And apparently Aaron Rodgers is a grudge-holding dude. And apparently he's disowned his whole family.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't read that far.
And there's so many people that he's played with that he won't, like Jennings, their top wide receiver for years. Well, Aaron Rodgers won't even talk to him now. Jennings has actually gone out of his way. He's an analyst now for the NFL Network, I think. It might be ESPN. But he's gone out of his way to try to talk to Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers will not even say hi to him.
What a giant baby.
That's what it sounds like. Aaron Rodgers sounds like a big, giant baby.
Mike McCarthy did not come off well either, though.
Oh, no.
Apparently.
The massages.
Yeah. So, during meetings, he was letting the offensive coordinator run the meetings with the players while he went up to his office and got massages.
He had these girls sneaking in the back doors and stuff.
Like going up a flight of stairs. And one of them actually spilled it to one of the teammates.
Yes.
So that's how they found out that that's what was happening.
I wonder if it was Robert Kraft massages.
I know, right?
That's
what I thought, too.
Yeah.
But this was just a scathing report. Oh, God,
yeah.
It was so bad. And they had so many sources, and people actually went on the record.
Yes, it was very, very sourced.
Yeah,
very well sourced.
Thorough.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, this is so, it was such a blatant problem with the team, but it never made it into the media until after McCarthy gets fired. I'm like, what do these sports journalists do?
I don't know.
They just like take quotes and then make up stuff. I don't know, because how do you not?
How do you totally miss that?
How do you totally miss that?
And how does that not get out?
I'm telling you, man. Sports journalists just do not do real journalist work.
And then, well, it's like the whole Josh Freeman thing. It was well known he had a drug problem.
Right.
And then comes out afterwards that, oh, yeah, he had a drug problem. Well, no crap. All the locals have been saying it for years.
Yeah. craziness.
Yeah, we need a report like that on the 2011 Buccaneers.
Right, yes. Yes, we do. Hopefully somebody's going to give us some inside information what happened with the 2011 Buccaneers. If anybody out there knows anything, or if you think you know somebody that might know something, gosh, get them in touch with us. I want to know that. It's the most important question I have about the Buccaneers. So anyhow, back to the book.
Back to the book. I'm not going to say everything.
Yeah, we're going to
everything in my notes, because Ralph, I hope one day you're going to read it.
Well, I'm going down to Tampa for the next 3 days. Don't know if I'll have a chance to read it. Probably not.
Probably not.
So anyhow, we're going to do a whole podcast on this book when we both get it done and have our notes ready. What else you got though?
He talks about Peyton Manning, which was really interesting. And that it's like a whole chapter on Peyton Manning, because that was his first NFL quarterback that he worked with and drafted. And he talked about drafting Peyton Manning versus Ryan Leaf and their process.
Yeah.
Of choosing between the two. And that was really interesting, because Ryan Leaf, I think, had more natural talent.
Yes.
But there were some glaring red flags.
Talk about how the mighty have fallen. That guy's been in and out of jail for stealing, breaking into people's houses, for drugs.
Yeah. And the signs were there in college.
Hmm.
Like, Bruce Arians actually went out and talked to people around Peyton Manning's university, and everybody loved him, said he was a great guy, and then did the same at Ryan Leaf's university, and everyone hated him and said he was such an asshole, and
wow.
He had been kicked out of bars and banned, and the 7-Eleven, I think, he wasn't allowed there anymore.
who gets banned from 7-Eleven?
I know, in a college town, too, like you expect.
Oh my goodness.
Some shenanigans, but apparently his were...
Over the top.
Over the top.
Wow.
So that was fun. And then, you know, he talked about how Archie impacted Peyton, Archie Manning, and how his upbringing really influenced him. But one thing Archie said, always taught Peyton, was that throwing the ball down the field was the best way for an inferior team to beat a superior one. Because if a throwing quarterback was special, he could carry the other 10 players on his offense much easier than could a running quarterback. Now, throughout the book, Arians is saying running quarterbacks are not going to last. You can't win with a running quarterback. And it's funny, because Arians was a running quarterback. And in fact, until 2016, he held the record at Virginia Tech for rushing touchdowns in a season by a quarterback. Michael Vick didn't even break that record. But he does not like a running quarterback.
Hmm. Interesting.
It is interesting. And he always says, he said he knew his limitations as a quarterback. He always wanted to be a quarterback. This is Bruce Arians. He always wanted to be a quarterback, but he knew he was never going to go that far.
Hmm.
So, but he valued the position.
Right.
So.
It's interesting.
It was interesting. So, and there's several other instances where he talks about running quarterbacks and how it's just not
going
to take a quarterback far. And we've said it before. It's like with Cam Newton.
Yeah. Yeah,
Colin Kaepernick, RG3.
RG3 was the perfect example to me.
Yeah. He was like the Messiah for the Washington Redskins. We're in Redskins country, so it was all you saw everywhere was RG3 jerseys.
And
he was the talk for so long.
And he just got broke.
Yeah, immediately.
Yes.
And now he's with the Ravens.
As a backup.
As a backup. Like third string, I think. He's been with the Browns. He's just...
Yeah, and look at the Ravens. You know, their running quarterback, they got their first string quarterback is a running quarterback, and their second string quarterback is a running quarterback. It just doesn't work. It doesn't last long. And
it's just a one trick pony.
Yes. So
it's, and they catch people, they catch teams by surprise initially.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they have great rookie years. RG3, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, Colin Kaepernick. I mean, there's a long list of them. They have great rookie years, and then they fall off the face of the earth.
Yes. It's going to be interesting to see Mahomes if he continues to perform up to the level he did last year.
I don't think he can.
No.
I think you get enough tape on him, and you learn how to stop him. I do. I mean, he's got Andy Reid behind him, so maybe that'll be enough to keep him going. Maybe they can innovate.
Hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think he's going to be the star everybody thinks he is.
No. Overrated. So, I don't want to spoil the whole book for you. I mean, I do.
She does. She's been chopping it to bit.
I know. I'm like, can you read this? He hasn't even downloaded it yet.
I'm busy. I'm a busy man.
You got excuses.
I got excuses.
Come on.
Well, the cheerleading finalist audition was this Saturday. I watched it live on Facebook.
Those are the things that Ralph has to do with his time.
I can't read a book. I got to watch cheerleaders.
On a Saturday, in our family time.
Well, everybody should be happy to know that Lorenzo did make the team. We will see him cheer on the sidelines at the Raymond James Stadium this year.
I'm happy about that.
Yeah, he seems like a good guy.
I am a little disappointed that the male NFL cheerleaders don't, like, throw the girls up like they do in college.
I want to see the female cheerleaders throw the guy up.
They probably could. You get three of them underneath of them. They might be able to. But they don't do it with each other either.
No.
It's more of like a dance team than it is a cheer team.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely.
Which I like all the tricks and stuff. It's kind of like going to the circus. Right? Like, it's a performance. You got, like, the acrobatics.
Entertain me.
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be.
That's funny.
I mean, I guess they're entertaining enough, but just seeing them shake it a little doesn't do it for me.
I agree with you. It'd be interesting to see them do more choreographed gymnastics, I guess.
But I think they're more dancers than cheerleaders.
Yeah, a lot of times I watch the routines and I go, I could do that.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem that special. But they, you know, they do all the, you know, wiggling and hip movements and the head throwing.
So you get distracted by that.
What were
they got the pom-poms, too. They're shiny.
Yes.
They just shake them.
They distract me, too. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us today. We might not have a podcast out Wednesday. Like I said, I got to go to Tampa for some stuff and don't know how we're going to work that out. We might try to do a remote podcast thing. Don't know, but chances are pretty good we will not do a podcast and have it up for Wednesday.
Maybe I'll do one on my own.
Yes, that's what we were talking about. And we will definitely have one up Friday. Hopefully we'll have some good news coming. The draft is right around the corner. We are, 3 weeks away? 2 weeks, 5 days? 2 weeks, 4 days? Somewhere in that area. It's the 25th is when the draft is. If you don't know, there is a draft party at the Wild Wings on Dale Mabry Boulevard down there. It's Joe Buck's fan, Justin Pawlinski, all those guys. Last year they had Derek Brooks and a couple other ex-players show up. So go there. It's an overflow. The parking lot's going to be full, so you don't have to worry about getting the seat. They're going to have TVs and stuff out in the parking lot and everything. So if you get a chance and you want to get out in the real world and go watch the draft party with some Buccaneer fans, it's a good place to do it.
I want to go to there.
Me too. You never know. We might head down there. But anyhow, speaking of the draft, I've been watching game film on all these guys, Devin White, Quentin, all these guys. I'm not seeing anything where I'm excited about.
I wanted to point this out. I forgot. I'm glad you brought this up. I was listening to the Pewter Report podcast from this week, I think the 5th or so. Anyway, and they were saying, we have a talented team, but we're not Super Bowl caliber yet. We're a couple pieces shy. And they think that we can get those pieces in the draft. I just thought, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. And I know that they follow college and they have their guys that they like, and that's fine. But college players that come into the NFL, it is such an adjustment, and they're not good players most of the time. Ian Beckles even says this.
Yeah, the first year.
The first year, you're just not a good player. And that's not to say you won't be a good player, but the speed of the game and the caliber of the player that you're playing against is just a lot to overcome for these young guys. And to say that these young college players who have never taken an NFL snap are going to be the answer and they're going to win us a Super Bowl, I think is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a good point. I agree with you on that. And they're so hit and miss. You just never know. That's one of the reasons why I don't follow college football or really get too in-depth with the draft, because, you know, these guys might be awesome in college, and then they come to the NFL and just fizzle. It happens so often.
There's so many factors that could impact their success. Like, maybe they just can't handle being in the limelight like that. Like, Rojo, I think it's been a big adjustment. Him coming from college. Cutter said he's got confidence issues.
Yeah, he's one of the ones where everybody was talking about him last year. It was like, oh, whoever gets Ronald Jones is going to be, you know, they're going to be getting a stellar running back and all that. And then after we drafted him, everybody was talking about, oh, you know, you need to get Rojo on your fantasy team. You know, I mean, people were picking him in the first round on their fantasy team. And look, he didn't do anything. Nothing.
We barely saw him.
And when he did get the ball, he was just not impressive at all.
Yeah. I
mean, he can't catch for anything, or he couldn't last year. So, I don't know. To me, you got to come into the NFL and prove yourself in the NFL before I'm even going to really start paying attention to you. You know, I just don't pay attention to draft guys, college guys.
I mean, look at Vita. his rookie year. I mean, first of all, he's hurt the first, I don't remember how many games, three, right. four, or five games. And then he's just playing like garbage for like three games. And you're like, what is this guy doing?
Yeah, when he first came in, I mean, he was doing great with his battles against the linemen, but he wasn't paying attention to the ball at all. You know, he would push his lineman back 5 feet into the backfield, and a running back would run right by him, and he wouldn't even notice it. You know, it's like, you know, I don't care how good you are at beating your man. If you can't get to the ball, what good are you?
Yeah. I mean, he even got the nickname Velcro Vita because he could not get off his blocks.
But then he picked up. And,
and
that's when I started noticing him. I was like, whoa, this guy is throwing linemen around like crazy.
Yeah. So it's not to say that a young player can't be successful in the NFL, but just to say that they're the answer to our Super Bowl question.
Yeah.
That's just absurd.
Yeah. Well, look at when we went to the Super Bowl. I don't remember any rookies coming in and contributing. That was a group of guys that had been together for a long time, many years, that were very good, and they played together well. That's normally what gets you to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Rookies don't.
No. Unless you get somebody like a Saquon Barkley, who carries your whole offense the whole year.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, running backs are usually the rare exception. They can come in and contribute almost immediately. I feel like the draft is, it's big off-season hype, too, because, you know, there's really not a lot going on.
Yeah, there's nothing else to talk about.
But it reminds me, the draft guys, which, you know, I'm glad they're there, because, you know, they serve
a purpose. We wouldn't know any of these players' names.
wouldn't have a clue. But they just seem like kids on Christmas Day, you know, it's like they're getting new toys.
Well, and there's there's a little bit of homerism there, too. Like, when you're a fan of a college team,
right.
and then you want to see who from that team is going to go to the NFL and where they're going to go.
Yes. But I'm going to tell you this. There's no possible way that these guys can watch all the film on all the players in college. Because you can't even do that with the NFL. There's only 32 teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and each team is limited to 53 men. College is not that way. There's more college teams and there's a lot more players on the team.
I wonder if that's what the appeal of the combine is. Because it gives you stats and measurables on all the guys.
Yeah, but, you know, stats and measurables.
Yeah, I'm not arguing for them, but I'm just saying maybe that's the appeal.
Yeah. Didn't you say in the book Arians is not a stats guy? He's not a measurables guy?
That is correct.
You didn't want to say that? Or were you keeping it?
I just don't want to say everything. Because, again, I have like 3 pages of notes, and I could say a lot.
Well, the draft's coming up. Hopefully we'll have some good information to get to you before the draft. But once the draft hits, that's when things are really going to start taking off as far as Buccaneers news. We'll be doing all kinds of profiles on the new guys. And then, of course, we're going to find out what's going to happen with McCoy. Because I really think, you know, they're going to wait probably till about the last minute to decide what to do with him. You know, they could keep him up to the day the season starts.
Right.
Cutting that day.
Yeah.
Not that they're going to do that, but they've got a long time to figure out what they're going to do with, and there's no rush.
Well, I think they've got probably to the draft, because they got to sign all those guys to contracts, and we only have less than $2 million in cap space right now.
It's going to be interesting to see who we draft as far as position goes, because if we draft another defensive line guy, that's going to be like a real bad sign for Gerald McCoy.
I think so, and I think it'll be a good indication of how they feel about the secondary.
From all indications, they like everybody in the secondary.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to draft hardly
any
secondary.
We just need a nickel. Which you can find those guys, free agents.
I like our secondary. There's nobody on our secondary that I say, this guy sucks.
Yeah. And they've pretty much said, I think, Carlton Davis and Vernon Hargreaves will be in the outside.
Yes.
What I'm saying. They need a nickel guy. So I don't know who they're looking at for that.
Yeah, and they're moving MJ Stewart to safety.
Right.
So, yeah, going to be interesting. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. We will have another podcast out, maybe Wednesday, most likely not, but definitely Friday. Until then,
go Bucks.